Time to go one-on-one with the coach of the Geelong Cats, Chris Scott, as we head into season 2021 and the build-up to round one against the Adelaide Crows. And Scotty's been good enough to join us via Zoom and also via audio. Scotty, great to catch up with you and nice to actually be talking to you all. We're both in Geelong.
Yeah, it's a nice change, isn't it, King? It's been a hard 12 months for everyone, but I think we can look forward to with some optimism about what footy's going to look like in season 21. For a few reasons.
Yep. What's it going to look like for the Geelong Football Club? A very busy off-season in the headlines for all the right reasons with some very handy additions. We speak of Cameron Smith and Higgins as the established stars that come to the Cats. And I suspect with that comes a sense of expectation that Geelong should be well into September again.
Well, we're trying to do that every year. That's always been our intention. At least in my time, that's the only time I can really speak to. But there hasn't been a year where we've started off the season thinking we should be managing expectations here because we're going to find it difficult. And obviously, sometimes things go against you. Sometimes you get some things a little bit wrong and it hurts you. But we've never started the season thinking if we got a lot of those things right that we couldn't be right there in contention. And I think the changes we've made to our list improve us. Not just in the short term, but certainly in the short term. And then, you know, we're still pretty confident that we can be a good team for a while, but obviously got a lot of hard work to do to prove that.
Higgins, Smith and Cameron, how have they fitted into the group and your expectations and perception of them before they came in as opposed to the reality? Have you been impressed with what you've seen so far?
Yeah, I think that's matched up pretty well. We held them in high regard, obviously, so we had high expectations and they've delivered on that. And they have, you know, a skill set that attracted us. So we didn't really seek to change the way they play too much. I think that will evolve naturally over time, but the real challenge is building cohesion with the rest of the Cats players and making sure that they maintain their individual attributes but also fit into the team structure.
The addition of Cameron provides a great combination with Tom Hawkins. Tom Hawkins last week said he thinks it'll take a short period of time for them to be in sync and that synergy to be there. Is that something you agree with? But is it something you can fast track or will it just have to happen naturally?
I think it's hard to fast track the cohesion that they build in real games. I mean, even practice games don't do a great job of that. So I think it's reasonable to say that they will get better the more they play together. But our forward half, you know, across the last decade has been an interesting case study in the balance between sort of stability and cohesion and, you know, necessary change. And sometimes it's forced change, which is for the most part what we've had. So, you know, we're optimistic now that we can have a group of players who can play together for a decent period of time. Obviously, Jeremy's got a lot of footy left in him. There's no ceiling on Tom's career from here on in. He's certainly contracted for 2 years, so they're at least going to have 2 years, you know, in our mind. So, yeah, I'd love to think that in 12 months' time it's going to be an even better combination than it is now.
The Hawthorn Geelong rivalry, as we all know, has been the great rivalry of the last 15 years in the AFL. 2020 was such a crazy year that should we have been surprised that someone like Isaac Smith became a Cat?
It doesn't happen too often. Absolutely. It's a rarity. And I think it was factored into his decision-making as well. We had a bit of a nibble at Sean Higgins the year before. And really respected the fact that, that he decided not to come. We were disappointed that he didn't come, but respected the reasons. And it was similar for Isaac. The fact that, you know, he grappled with it for so long suggests that he's a team-first player and the relationships and the commitment he'd made to the Hawthorn Footy Club meant a lot to him. So it gave us more confidence that we were getting people of good character. Jeremy's in the same boat as well. It was a really hard decision for him and hopefully we've been a club that's not saying to those guys, look, you know, our club's better than the club you're at. It's more a matter of, is this a better fit for the stage of your career?
Yep. The off-season, a short one compared to previous years, usually 6 months between finish of finals in a home and away game, this time only or just short of 5 months. And for you personally, you've taken a lot of professional development, spent some time away from the club. Has this off-season looked different for you, Chris, in terms of your connection at the club? Have you spent more time than you normally would? Have you spent less time? How's it sat for you over the last 5 months?
It's been very different. It feels really short, to be honest, King. It was a hard year for everyone across the world last year. And it was important from our perspective that all our people got a good break. And I certainly took more of a break than I have in previous years. It was a bit easy because going overseas or studying was a lot harder to do, at least in person. And even though our football department took a huge hit in terms of salaries and headcount, we still retained almost all of our coaches. James Raleigh's gone to Adelaide, so he's going to make it harder for us this week, no doubt, because he's a very good operator. But I'm still in the position, I think, where I've got great confidence with a really good coaching group, and delegating to them is still the right thing to do at certain times of the year from my perspective. And they've done a great job again. So not too much has changed in terms of my role. It may well in the future, but to this point, I haven't felt like that. The requirement for me to be more hands-on's exploded.
Yep. Was 2020 a good year for you as a coach, that you spent more time around the playing group and were able to connect with your players differently to how you would normally in a normal home and away season, where people are short on time and your connection, your time at the club and your contact hours are not significant, but when you're in a hub together, that you're having the water cooler conversations and, I suppose, finding out things about your players that you might not necessarily find out about them?
Yeah, I think it's a really good point. Every club would have come away from the hub experience trying to learn the lessons. And I think my observation was that the good parts of your program got magnified. But the challenging parts or the pain points were magnified as well. So the point you bring up is an interesting one. It's great to have more kind of organic, casual conversations with people and sort of be thrust together. It's difficult to generate that in a normal circumstance. But there was always the great risk that everyone would get sick of each other as well. I'm a big believer that, this idea that, coaches in their mid-40s should be great mates with 18-year-olds, I think, is a furphy. Like having a fake relationship is better than having a poor relationship, I reckon. But the point you make, I think it's a good one. It was we got the chance to be together. For example, if we chose to try to replicate that, it would just be impossible. How could we have 115 days together? For a start, we couldn't fund it. So we chose to take the positives out of it, and I think we've emerged a stronger club and a stronger footy department.
Yep. You fall just short. The final hurdle is the one you couldn't clear, and you were so close, 22 points up second quarter. How do you adjust the game plan? Will we see much difference to what the Geelong style was last year? You love to hold on to the footy and then get it moving once you've found the right avenue out of defence when it went into the opposition attack. And out of the middle, you obviously, if you could burst away through the likes of Dangerfield and Menegola and Guthrie, you did. Are we going to see similar in 2021, Chris?
I think it'll evolve. We always start every season with an open mind. And that's not to say that we don't have preferences and things we want to try. And there are some obvious things for us. I mean, the last year or two or three, we've been pretty consistently in the top few for attack and defence. And so it's not as if there's a glaring issue there, at least statistically. But maybe even last year, some of our centre bounce statistics weren't great. So there's some of the minutiae there that what we're focusing on. But in general, what we're trying to do is play to our strengths. And when you bring new players in, sometimes your strengths can change a little bit. So, the obvious thing for us is we have evolved towards a team that controls the ball a little bit more. And I think that would be a problem if we couldn't score. But we're showing that we can score with that method, but it doesn't mean that we're not looking to play a bit quicker. But it's just hard to be really to forecast with clarity on how it's going to look, because it just depends on so many things. The opposition you play, which group of players we go with in our back half in particular each week, you know, how Smith and Higgins change our ball movement. But, yeah, I think if I wanted to summarise it, we'd like to take the chances to play a bit faster when they're on.
Yep. So does that make my question about Mark Blitzarves redundant? It's the great, for a decade, it's been the great discussion point. Where is Mark Blitzarves' best position? I think we all agree that he's a premier defender and he's very capable at other positions on the ground. Would you like to settle him down back, or based on your previous answer, does it come down to opposition, flow of the game, factors like that?
I think every club's struggling a little bit with the shift to 75 rotations and back to the longer quarters, especially early in the year when the ball's flowing a little bit more. Generally, when the weather's better early in the year, there are fewer stoppages, and it makes the transition game harder for ruckman. And there's no better transition ruckman in the competition than Blitzarves. But yeah, I agree. I've always thought from the day he walked into the club that he'd develop into an elite. Oh, maybe I didn't think straight away he'd be an elite key defender, but I thought that would be his position. I think all our supporters can, even if they disagree with us, they can rest assured that it's something that our coaching group spend a lot of time talking about. We don't make flippant decisions when it comes to where we position him. And I think it's much more complicated than a lot of people probably give it credit for. But, yeah, in a perfect world, for me, he's a key defender because we've got two great ruckmen doing the job up the field.
Yep. I was going to say, when you hear external noise about team selection and positions on the ground, and I don't know whether you hear it or not, but if you do, is it where Mark Blitzarves plays seem to be the one that, you know, drifts past your ears the most?
I generally don't hear it, King. I guess sometimes I do because I do a couple of media conferences a week, and our boring media manager briefs me for those. So I'm sort of aware of it a bit, but we talk about it so much, and we've got high quality people, you know, Matty Scarlett, Nigel Lappin, Matthew Knights, Corey Enright. They don't give me much time to listen to anyone else.
Sam Menegola, Cam Guthrie, of course, Cam Guthrie, the Kaji Greaves medalist, were two that stick out as players that really thrived on 2020 football. Is somebody going to break out this year? Is there somebody you've seen in pre-season that you hope just can take that next step with their footy?
I've got great hope for quite a few of them. I mean, I'm tempted to say that I'm looking forward to Jordan Clark having a breakout year, but I think for some reason there's just this unfair expectation on Jordan, and seems to be, probably to answer your previous question, that would be the one that I heard the most last year. You know, how's Jordan Clark going? Well, and half the time the answer was he's got an injured elbow. But just the fact that he was a high draft pick and he played games in his first year probably led people to believe that it's this seamless linear progression for him. And there's a hard team to break into in the position he was playing last year. And I think that will be the same again this year, but he certainly has a capability to be a good player for us. But if we get to the end of the year and he hasn't, you know, become a gun player, we won't be jumping at shadows there because we're playing the long game with him. The others, I'm always loath to sort of single out too many guys. I guess the one to look out for if you're looking for something of interest is Tom Atkins playing a bit more in the back half. I think that will give us a different look, and we've seen enough to think that that's going to work pretty well for us.
I've had George Hall and Smith, Nikia Cockatoo as those that I've adopted over the journey. Chris, who should I be adopting that now gets me the subject of derision from other media and also the fans who seem to bail me up and say, who are you going to ask about Nikia Cockatoo this year?
Yeah, well, I think you and I rode those two pretty hard as well. So you weren't on your own there, mate. I was very hopeful about the two of them. The ones coming through...
Who should I latch myself onto with...
It's a poison chalice.
Maybe we shouldn't.
I don't want to say anyone because it's almost a guarantee that they won't work out. So I'll leave that one to you, King.
All right. I'll work one out, and you'll very quickly work it out at press conferences who it is, no doubt. The young kids that have come through and the draftees, and well, we saw a bit of Shannon Neal against Collingwood, which was fantastic. And there's Holmes, and we saw Stevens as well early. And Paul Sapatolis is a Category B rookie's untapped potential at this stage. Do you follow their stories closely coming in, or is it when they get to the club you start to find out a little bit more about them?
Well, they're all different. We knew about Sapatolis for a bit because we followed him for a long time, knowing that if he agreed, we could just list him as a Category B player. The draftees, it tends to be a little closer to draft time that you learn a little bit about their background. But the three we took, interestingly, all had one thing in common, and that they were great runners. Nick Stevens probably a little bit unlucky because he's a very good runner in his own right, but he's coming with two guys who are sort of national level middle distance runners. That's exciting for us. The three of them are clearly individuals, but Shannon Neal and Max Holmes in particular, they came in as track and field runners who were a little bit later to footy. So pretty early picks for us in the context of Geelong picks anyway. And we've got high hopes for them. But again, it's probably a little bit like Jordan Clark, a guy that was a cricketer who decided late to play footy and was always going to take a few pre-seasons to really sort of build up the resilience for the rigours of this level.
Concussion sub, or medical sub, as it is now. You and I spoke at the media conference on Wednesday morning and you had no clarity around it. But as we speak on Wednesday afternoon, you've now got a little bit more clarity about it. Are you comfortable with it? And are you comfortable that it can be rolled out, for you guys, 72 hours of being announced without too many dramas?
Yeah, I think sometimes we as an industry can over-dramatise these things. And I think fundamental change that involves taking options away can be really difficult to manage. But this is an addition for us. So it was earmarked a little while ago. I know it sounds really late, but I don't know whether there's going to be any hysteria around it, but I would try to resist that. And I think our club will try to resist that. We've got an extra mechanism there to help protect the health and welfare of the players. So through that lens, I find it hard to argue with.
Yep. Do you think we'll eventually just see an expansion of the interchange bench and it'll happen now, to a five or a six man eventually, or do you suspect we'll be four in an emergency for the next, few years?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I mean, my gut feel is that they'll just go to five. And that's based on history. The sub situation previously was three interchange players and a sub. And unlimited rotations. So when the rotation cap came in, the sub became superfluous because you couldn't out-rotate the opposition. And that's even more severe now with the reduction to 75. So it seems a pretty simple evolution to say, well, rather than have all these layers and assessments around what is an injury and what isn't, just rotate with five, because even if you have eight on the bench, you can still only rotate 75 times. So I would have thought that would be the logical progression.
What excites you most about 2021, Chris? Is it some sense of normality about football, or is it something else?
No, I think generally the thing that excites me is getting back to playing in front of our supporters. I think I've been overwhelmed personally, and I know the club has as a collective, by the support and the genuine support of our members. I know there's always going to be, a small vocal minority that, you hear about complaining, and sometimes that makes the news more easily than the positive stuff. But we, and again, I don't talk about what I hear all that often, but I have been genuinely knocked back on my heels with the support that I've got from Geelong people over the last 12 months. And I think footy last year showed how important footy was to us, but I think it also showed how important footy is to so many people in their lives. Sometimes we can become a bit blasé about, our love for the footy club. So getting the opportunity to come back and perform in front of those people that supported us so well, that's clearly the number one thing I'm looking forward to.
10 is a nice round number. So round one, 2021 marks 10 years almost to the day since Chris Scott first coached the Geelong Football Club. Do you reflect when you get to round numbers like that on the journey at all? Have you had a chance to go, 10 years and where's it gone?
It feels like it's gone pretty quickly, King. So I think that's a good sign. And I guess in coaching terms, I'm still a very young man. And I feel as motivated as ever. But, you know, I think it's a Major League Baseball expression that, you know, a championship mindset is one that looks forward. And I've never found that hard, even as a player. I've just always been forward looking. And to be honest, I don't really spend much time reflecting. I'm not that fussed about sort of where I sit in the scheme of things. I just want to look forward and service our footy club and our players as best I can.
Somebody had it shown you a 2021 photo to 2011, Chris Scott with the slick back hair and the full beard. You would have gone, that won't be me.
Very unusual, King, but midlife crises manifest in different ways. So, yeah. I'll grow out of it eventually.
I was going to say, if your midlife crisis is a beard and slick back hair, that's probably a pretty good one to have.
You can think of worse ways.
Oh, I would have thought. Probably nothing we can discuss here.
Gotcha.
Chris, always great to catch up with you in these one-on-one chats pre-season. We missed last year's one because we found ourselves probably scurrying to get to the start line for round one, and things are a little bit more patient and a little bit more settled than what they were 12 months ago. But we can't wait for the journey. We love the ride that the Geelong Football Club provides us on K-Rock, and we really appreciate you giving us some of your time ahead of season 2021. We wish you the very best of luck, and we can't wait as you can't for that bounce on Saturday afternoon against the Crows. Hopefully the first of, well, at most 104 quarters you'll play for the season.
Yeah, thanks, King. We appreciate your support too, mate. It's going to be a great ride again.